Greetings, this is the automatically deleted husband, and I have something I think might be interesting, especially for my wife, my kids, people involved in the issues between my family and myself. I think this might be interesting. I got tired last night, and so since I had, I downloaded it, I decided to watch this video that came out, oh, I don't know how many months ago, called What is a Woman? And I watched it. I saw a clip of it earlier, and, you know, it's apparently the group is the Daily Wire, I think is the name of it. I've seen clips now of some of their stuff, but I just don't watch the stuff. But slick production stuff. And of course the video was really, really slick, in the way it was produced. This was, you know, kind of a well-funded project and people with some talent, artistically and of course in communications. Today's postcard, I went to Dorothy Jane, and the title was I'm Not the Only One. There was a reason for that, because the in the process of that that video, lots of things occurred that are more than interesting. For example, I wrote in here, last night I watched the documentary, What is a Woman? At the hour and 28 minute mark, there is 30 seconds worth watching. And I didn't, but I might put the clips of the images. Because what happened was, you know, the guy, is it Walsh? Walsh? I don't know his first name. Anyway, he went to various people to interview them and so forth about the question, what is a woman? He went to people on both sides of the question. It is remarkable. And of course, I'm sure it was dramatized in the sense of, you know, you could provoke someone in order to have them act inappropriately. And, you know, for example, I think it may have been in Tennessee, it may have been in Kentucky or something. He went to some congressman or something, and in the interview ended up where the guy simply said, this interview is over, and because he was asking questions like, what is a woman? And he did go, but you know, you could look at this is that those people who don't want to respond, the people who want, you know, are promoting transgenderism and all those kind of things, or LGBTQ plus SIN, promoting all that stuff, that some questions they don't want to ask. They don't want to go there. This relates to many things. But anyway, and so it's not really you have to set them up. It's kind of natural. And then you talked, of course, with some people who are trying to basically pick up the pieces or prevent this from happening. But anyway, so he went and did a lot of these things. And one interview was only via a phone call because he interviewed a gentleman. To make it artistic, they showed simply a cell phone with the, I think it said unknown on the phone. Because I didn't want to identify the person, and talking with the gentleman in Canada about his plight with his daughter. So I watched that and I said, I know who that is. And I do. His name is Robert Hoagland. He's been for the last several years, been involved because he and his wife, he says his ex-wife, so he doesn't follow the same mentality I have with the idea of marriage begins with sex and ends with death. Because again, I argue from the scripture, which I know is not a popular idea, especially in the institutional church. But anyway, he and his former wife, his ex-wife as he terms it, have some issues with their daughter. because in the school, Canadian school that she was in, there was some support given to her to do a sex change. And they started providing her hormone therapy and things of that nature without his consent. And he did go to court and try to stop it. And the court system went after him. To the point they put a gag order on him and any news agency that even said his name. So you can find a whole bunch of, you can find a reasonable number. Seen it with Press for Truth out of Canada and Rebel News, which is also out of Canada. Both of them have done interviews and so forth. Press for Truth did it before the gag order, I think. I don't remember the scenario. But anyway, you know, face-to-face interview, and names were mentioned. Rebel News was there at the various court hearings. And what they did is they did interview him in front of the courthouse, and they blurred his face. And they called his child A.B. and called him C.D. So they wouldn't use his actual name because that was prohibited by the courts. So this was the state silencing people. You don't want evidence to come out. And he was more than willing. I mean, he gave interviews, but then he was stifled because they threatened him with jail, and he ended up in jail. But again, in the What is a Woman video, they showed a conversation with him and simply called him unidentified. But again, his name is Robert Hoagland. And I don't know what's happening right now. The last I heard is I think he's out of jail, but there's another court appearance. He's looking at huge fines and potentially other jail time and things of that nature. They're going after him. It was supposed to happen in November of this year. It's been pushed to March of next year. That's apparently very recent news. So, but you know, what happens, I don't know. But anyway, all that is just set up. I went on. I said, a bunch of links are above. There are a bunch of links above with a video about his plights. So I have there. I mean, this is about a dozen links. A lot of them are YouTube. Some of those things from YouTube were taken down. A couple are BitChute, including the link to What is a Woman? So if you want to watch it, it's there. Some Father Transgender Daughter Speaks Out, which is on BitChute. So a lot of these are also on BitChute, but anyway, I give you the YouTube and a couple of BitChute links. But so it's there. And if you need them, I have them on my hard drive. You know, just ask. I watched this, and then there was the conversation. And what they did is, you know, they showed the phone because they didn't show his face for obvious reasons at the time. And then they put the text of what he said on the screen. And what he said was, "And when my children turn 20, when my child turns 25 and says, 'Dad, where were you?' I was there. I was fighting as hard as I could." That too. "I was fighting as hard as I could." And I saw that. And, you know, I watched it. And I was already familiar with it. So I saw that and I saw his comment. And I stopped the video. I went back and I took screen captures of that because that hit hard. That hit really hard. "And when my child turns 25 and says, 'Dad, where were you?'" So in my, not in the cart. Well, see, the card today, I wrote at the 128 mark of the video, "What is a Woman?" The unidentified caller is Robert Hoagland. He answered a question as I do. What will it be like for those who fight to destroy a family? And then, of course, my typical, I love you, I love you, I love you, you're a man. This is my normal close to my wife. It's been that way for 30 years plus. But then I ask here, when George, Susanna, Glory Jane, Walter, and Zadok turned 25, they need to know that their dad, me, was fighting as hard as I could so that we could be, quote, family again. What will it be like to those working against this effort? That, again, is a very serious question. So think about that. There are several things that come from this, but one, obviously, is in the case of Mr. Hoagland, is when his daughter, perhaps is 25, with a deep voice, with surgically removed breasts, and no longer able to reproduce because there was her uterus or whatnot is removed, things of that nature. So she's in that condition and finds out, I was wrong. And then wonder, Dad, why did you stop this? I mean, considering the amount of media coverage he's got, I mean, she would probably know. He tried. Because there is a huge number of people who've gone through the transition, as it's politely called, and those that survive, because obviously the death rate is quite high, but those that survive, including one of the people who was interviewed there, a woman, you know, you can look at her legs. Yeah, that's a woman. When you look at her, the way she talks like a man, because obviously she was adjusted. But and she is trying to warn others, don't do what I did. But so, you know, you think about what it is to love those people. And you think about what happens to Mr. Hoagland being censored, being said, I can't say my name in public. The news media in Canada, I don't know what it's like today, but you know, you take this video or, you know, the email that I sent or the card I sent or this. And in Canada, there's the possibility somebody who would see that, they would be arrested because what I've done is said something that's illegal in Canada, which I've done for Germany and Austria and other places anyway. But, you know, I'm going to be a crook all over the place sooner or later. Because no, I don't censor. So, you know, there's the issue about the censorship, blatant. There is the issue about what happened to his daughter, and what it'll be like years from now if she changes her mind. Change her mind. It's kind of like changing course or like turning. What's a good word for that? Oh, it's called repentance. What would happen if that occurs? And the question is, why weren't you there? To the dad, there's evidence he was there. To the mom? It goes on. There was, I watched one of those links in there. There is from Rebel News. This woman who does a very good job. She was there for a lot of these events. And in one of the events, one of these things, she talked with another woman. And she couldn't identify herself either. So she's known as AM. And she went and made a lot of effort because the school system does these things in Canada without the parents' consent. And she was fighting to stop the state from paying for surgery on her daughter to have her breasts removed. Can you imagine a mom having to fight the state for them. Her statement, she used BC, I think, at the time, but she was thankful to Robert Hoagland that he went public. Because when he went public about this, it brought the idea what's happening to the forefront, and this woman found out what was going on with her daughter and was able to at least fight. I don't know what happened, but that's a big deal. So if Mr. Hoagland loses completely, ends up in prison, his daughter never repents, whatnot, he's had an impact outside of his family. He's influenced others. And he has a lot of people rallying around him. You know, I've seen he has one of these fundraising things. And not a lot of big donors, but a lot of donors. I think well over 1,000 donors. So a lot of people are putting in little tokens, you know, the $10, $20 kind of thing, just to say, I'm with you. And, you know, it's the volume, the number of people that speak louder than the amounts. But it brought to mind, you know, somebody going public. And this guy is not Joe Eloquent. He's not the guy, oh, I want to listen to him or things of that nature. He's a clear speaker. But what he says was vital. And again, the influence has rippled to others. And, you know, the story I've told before, this inept guy took the opportunity he had at Christ Community Church in Greensboro, North Carolina, to speak in the middle of the service several times when the floor was opened about pro-life things and about the Greensboro Pregnancy Care Center. And one of the great joys about that, because, oh, I was so clumsy. But a woman that I knew after we left the church, but I knew her from the Pregnancy Care Center because she was one of the volunteers. And she became a volunteer because I was the obnoxious guy on Sunday morning. And she told me how she got up one Sunday morning in the middle of the service and said, you remember that guy who would always talk about the Pregnancy Care Center? Now I'm going to do it. That was a really big deal to me when she told me that. That was a really big deal to me. And obviously it reminds me of this woman, A.M., who looked at Robert Hoagland and said, what he did, now I'm doing it. So I think about those incidents. And, you know, my statement, when George, Susanna, Glory Jane, Walter, and Zadok turned 25, they didn't know that their dad, me, was fighting as hard as I could to see that we could be family again. Again, the want to be family again is George's comment. The model of somebody doing this. Well, obviously, my effort is public. You know, family.kozlowska.org is public. These videos are public. And they are shared. And I'm aware of several who have seen them. Perhaps I'll never see my wife and kids again. I don't want that to be that way, but that's a possibility. I'll never see my wife and kids again. But what I've done is set a model, like Mr. Hoagland, like what I did with this lady at the Christ Community Church and the Pregnancy Care Center, maybe somebody else would say, look what he went through. Look what he was doing. He tried to reconcile a family. Tried or failed. Failed or succeeded, doesn't matter. He tried. And what he did, especially because so often I make my case from Scripture, in doing that, I hope to be the model for somebody else. Because I have had face-to-face conversations about this and have encouraged others. Yeah, people have minor issues. Oh, it's hard. You know, can you imagine what it's like when you haven't seen your family in months and whatnot? Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine what it's like to not see my kid who is about to turn 11 in 10 years. Yeah, yeah, I know what that's like. And I know the grace of God. And I know what it is to seek reconciliation. And I want to set that model before others. Because if it doesn't happen to me, Lord willing, it'll happen to someone else. I recommend, again, it is kind of the artsy, craftsy, sensational, the What is a Woman? And what you see in that is people in the, we'd say the opposition, shutting down dialogue, saying no, or twisting words. You can see a number of people, they would twist the meaning of words. What's his name? There's a famous psychologist in Canada. Anyway, he's basically the last person to be interviewed. And, again, I think it's Walsh or whatever, asked him, well, what is a woman? And he basically says, go ask your wife. And then at the close, you might say the last interview was him and his wife. And that was a well-done scene. I won't spoil it for you. That was really well done. It was because he finally got the answer. And she gave the dictionary answer plus a little bit more, which I thought was great. Because what it demonstrated, and I know this is going to be hate speech, men and women are physically different. He actually said it out loud. Oh no, shoot him. That close, it really closed well. And again, it's what, 90 minutes long or whatever. I recommend it. It's, it's better than watching, stupid Hollywood movie. Which, by the way, I haven't done in years. Simply, no, I just don't do that anymore. Anyway, I recommend the What is the Woman? I'm very aware, and I gave you a whole bunch of links about the unidentified Canadian, the unidentified Mr. Robert Hoagland, which I just identified, and so take me to jail. and his comment, why he's continuing to fight this. He's fighting in the courts. No, obviously I don't do that. I'm fighting in a different way. And, I don't know. It came up again. So just because I have to gotta add a little scripture. One of the verses I used a lot, because I think it's very relevant. and with this context too, is Revelation 21:8 in the LSV. But to fearful and unsteadfast and abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, their part is in the lake that is burning with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. It's kind of like, you don't want to be part of this group. You really don't. I mean, it's not like getting a bad seat in the bus. It's no, you don't want to be here. Because again, you know, the words the abominable, the people who are simply the sinful, you're bad. But then, of course, it does get onto the murderers, and then you know, because it seems like it's going up, and then fornicators. This is where we, you know, where we get the, you know, the base of the word porn. And so forth. But I find fascinating the all liars, because when you look at that, murderers, whoremongers, sorcerers, idolaters, it's kind of like, the obvious example, King David was a murderer and he's an adulterer. So that would imply he's not qualified. However, it's people with that characteristic. It's not all those people with that characteristic. And I think I can substantiate that by the fact it says, and all liars. So it's not some liars, all liars. And I think I would suggest the liars. It is the word comes from where we get pseudo. You know, because obviously you have the false Christ, the pseudo Christos, or pseudos Christos, however it's pronounced, the false teacher, pseudo didaskalos. You know, say that in public. And things of that nature. So the false this and the false this. And this is people who are simply false. It's part of their nature. So I think when we see it as all liars, it's not that somebody who has lied, but it's their nature to lie. We hear about the devil who is a liar from the beginning. So it's when we read that verse, there's going to be a whole lot of murderers and adulterers and abominable and sorcerers and whatnot and idolaters standing before the Lord redeemed. But I would suggest there'll be no liars. Not one. Because being a liar basically puts you in league with the devil. Because a liar by nature, not a liar indeed, but a liar by nature, has got a problem. But as I point out, the fearful and unsteadfast, the first two things, because those are the things that are not usually talked about. The fearful, dilos, because I've been through this before. When Jesus was on the boat and the storm came, and why are you afraid? Why are you dilos? We can have an event where we are act in fear. But if it's our nature to be fearful, fearful in what way? Well, the unsteadfast and or the fearful and unsteadfast. I think the ESV, the cowardly and the faithless. Because, you know, I've mentioned belief, faith, trust is based on pistis. And this is apistis. No belief, no faith, no trust. So it's not that you have just a little faith. You just barely, and you blow it a lot because your faith is not that strong. You're still potentially fine. That doesn't disqualify you. It's the, I would suggest it's those who say, oh yeah, I believe, but there is absolutely zero practice. Because it's one thing to say it, especially within a cloistered environment where you're protected, and it's another thing to live it. It's the idea of he who denies me before men. Because you get in a situation where, oh, you're a follower of Christ. Oh, no, I don't want to say that. No. I'm one of you. And the Lord says, oh, okay. I don't know who you are either. I never knew you. Horrible words to hear. Horrible words. So, I think about that verse. And then when you go back to the idea of, well, my closing line in the notes on the card, what will it be like to those who worked against this effort? When I go to church leadership and challenge them on being obedient to Christ, and they got to close the door, they're like the Canadian government. No, I can't allow this dialogue to happen. Perhaps they are cowardly and faithless, or was the LSV fearful and unsteadfast. I don't want to violate my club. In my club, I'm safe. Don't challenge my club. I want to pluck some of those people out. I want to be like this. I want to be to the person like this woman, unidentified woman, A.M., who said, I saw Robert Hoagland stand to protect his child. And I want to do the same for my daughter. I want to do the same for somebody else who says, yes, I'm having trouble with my family, with the institutional church, with something else. And I'm really, really scared. I'm not asking others to go through the degree I have. But if I can set a model for somebody, and they can do just a bit of that, then it's my blessing. It's a blessing to me that I've encouraged somebody, especially if they see some form of reconciliation or something of that nature. That's a blessing to me, even if I never find out who this person is. So that is part of the reason to do this. But anyway, I recommend the video, What is a Woman? I did a search for Robert Hoagland and on Google, and it doesn't show up very much. there's a little bit, but of course most of it's old because anyway. And I'm going to continue my effort as long as the Lord allows. I will continue my effort unwaveringly, because when George, Susanna, Glory, Jane, and Walter, and Zadok turn 25, they need to know that their dad, me, was fighting as hard as I could so we could be family again. One quick point, I won't go into any details since I'm long anyway. I have been trying to contact people about Shofar Nexus. Organizations with a little higher profile than me. And I got a response today. It seems, again, low priority. But the sheer fact that somebody says, oh, okay. It was, oh, we're going to pass this to the right person kind of response. Which could mean, we're going to take it from this round file and put it in that round file. That's the norm. It's like the trying to contact the rabbi at the Messianic Torah Observing Israel Church. You know, it's been a week, no response. And my feeling is, I think the wise thing to do is Monday, I'll put a preface on the email and send it again. Because that's what I did with the Russian church. I think, anyway, just a polite, I put this there. Do you have anything you want to say? That kind of thing. I'm not trying to defeat. I'm trying to communicate, trying to encourage, trying to be a follower of Christ. What would followers of Christ do? Let me see. What did Christ come into? Why did the Creator enter his creation? To redeem his elect. I've heard somebody say that. And he backs it up from Scripture. So if Christ came into the world fundamentally to redeem his elect, so we can have a relationship with him. Again, why does he do the redemption process? Because we have a wall between us and them. Because we are enslaved to sin. And we have to die to sin. But the way to do that is it has to be paid for so there can be a relationship. So Christ paid for it. Paying for it is not on the table. It's not an issue. So if we die to sin, sin doesn't have hold on us, nor do we have any wall between us and Christ where we have to pay a fee to get in. He's paid the fee. The slavery to sin, if that's dead, and if the price that we have to pay has been paid by Christ, there is no wall between us and Christ. Without that wall, it's not that we can go and say, all right, I want a lollipop. No, I want a relationship. That is the great gift. The redemption is necessary. The dying to sin is necessary. And the relationship between you and your Creator is the joy. And I want to encourage others to seek with all their heart that joy, knowing that Christ paid for it. And, you know, what we kind of have to do, and it's done by his gift, is die to sin. You know, and if you put up a wall, if you say you know God, but hate your brother, you say you know God who you can't see, but don't show love hate your brother who you can see. There's an inconsistency problem here in the First John. Anyway, my lady, my wife, Mr. Holden is putting on a lot of effort. He's been fairly bold. I think you'll notice what I do is him on steroids. My lady, I love you and I want you back.